Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Padibhajakacharya, Asatara Satashri Shimana's Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Kijai Sri Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mathura Dham Kijai Nabadweep Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pasyata Desatarani. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. We are reading in the third canto. And I'm sure everyone who's been here is actually totally fixed on what we're reading on. We're reading about the pregnancy of Diti in the evening. And this whole story has been going on for quite some time. We're on text number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human beings, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Text number 30.
Maitreya Uvacha. Saivam Samvidite Bhartra.
Bhartra.
Saivam samvidite bratra. Man mahot tan mati tendriya. Man mahton mati tendriya. Jagara vaso brash marshir. Jagra vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Maitreya uvacha. Shaivam sanvidite brarta. Manmanton mati tendriya. Jagraha vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Please chant. Saivam samvidite bratra. Man manton mati tendriya. Bragravaso brahmarshir. Vrishali vagatatrapa. Saivam samvidite bratra. Man manton mati tendriya. Jagravaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Saivam sanvidite bratra. Manmanto manti tendriya. Jagraha vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Daivam sanvidite bratra. Manmano manmitendriya. Jagraha vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Daivam sanvidite bratra. Manmato manvitendriya. Jagraha vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Maitreya uvacha. Daivam samvidite bratra. Manmato manmitendriya. Jagraha mato brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Ragats. Saivam samvidite brata. Manmanton mati tendriya. Jagraha vaso brahmarshir. Vrishaliva gatatrapa. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said. Sa. She. Evam, thus, samvidite, in spite of being informed, brartra, by her husband, manmata, by Cupid, unmaitita, being pressed, indriya, senses, jagraha, caught hold of, vasa, clothing, Brahma Rishi, of the great Brahmin sage, Vrishali, public prostitute, Eva, like, Gatatrapa, without shame. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya said, Diti was thus informed by her husband, but she was pressed by Cupid for sexual satisfaction. She caught hold of the clothing of the great Brahmin sage, just like a shameless public prostitute. Yeah, we're in this wonderful story. Welcome for our new guests who probably haven't been following along. It'll be a little unusual, but hopefully there'll be some points that you can remember. Okay, I'm just going to read the verse again. Maitreya said, Diti was thus informed by her husband, but she was pressed by Cupid for sexual satisfaction. She caught hold of the clothing of the great Brahmin sage, just like a shameless public prostitute. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the difference between a married wife and a public prostitute is that one is restrained in sex life by rules and regulations of the scriptures, whereas the other is unrestricted in sex life and is conducted solely by the strong sex urge. Although very enlightened, Kasyapa, the great sage, became a victim of his prostitute wife. Such is the strong force of material energy. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya taksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I am totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life. Hare Krishna. So a few weeks back, I can remember, well, not especially clearly, but I can remember, I think it was Madhumati, when she was giving class, she said, we're still on this story of the pregnancy of Diti in the evening. It seems to be the longest chapter in the Bhagavatam. Although it is not the longest chapter in the Bhagavatam. I don't know if it was you that said it, but I give it you. Oh, okay, thanks. It seems to be a quite long chapter, full of so many nuances, details of proper conduct in life, and et cetera, et cetera. And the result of what happens when one makes an improper choice. What are the results of those things? In quote unquote modern society, restrictions and prohibitions and anything like that are totally disregarded. There's such a push for freedom of choice, freedom of desire, freedom to do whatever you want. There's no real sense of the responsibility of one's actions, the results of one's actions. So Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly this story, is giving us a very clear indication of results of our activities, how we're responsible for the results of our activities. Now, Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, he says, in the beginning of creation, I sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices, and I said, be thou happy, live happily by performing these sacrifices, because by performing these sacrifices, everything will come to you. In other words, what Bhagavatam in general is explaining to, especially this Kali Yuga audience, the audiences of today, that there is a person in control. There's a person in control. The world is moving in an orderly fashion. The human beings who are acting in an inorderly fashion are according to whatever whims or desires their senses and minds and everything are coming up with, and they're acting according to those desires. They're reaping the results of those activities and not making the connection, why I'm not happy. Why am I happy? So Krishna has given us an orderly fashion. If you want to live in this material world, there's a certain way to follow rules and regulations and become happy. And if you follow those rules and regulations, then the miseries of material life, of birth, death, old age, and disease, of the sufferings by the mind, sufferings due to other living entities, and sufferings and so many different types of sufferings, they won't affect you so much. So way back in the fifth chapter of this Bhagavatam, fifth chapter of the third canto, this whole subject matter was brought up by Vidura. Because Vidura had met up with Maitreya. Maitreya is the one who's speaking here. Vidura, a great sage, had met up with Maitreya, who was another great sage, and he was questioning him. His initial, Vidura's initial intention on questioning Maitreya was to ask him about Krishna's pastimes, his forms, his personalities, his activities, what makes him so attractive, etc., etc., to ask him of those quite elevated topics. But what happened was, is when he first met with Maitreya, he started on the, you could say, on the basic level, Hare Krishna 101, Hare Krishna 101. Basic level. His questions were very basic in the beginning. So this is in the fifth chapter, verse number 2. Vidura said, "Oh great," so he's asking Maitreya, "Oh great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress." Everyone's acting to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. We, all of our desires in life, whether it's, you know, one wants to go to school, get a degree, get a so they qualify for a certain job, so that they'll get a certain income, so that with that income, what? They'll be happy. But in the meantime, they have to do so many things to get what they're thinking is happiness. And do they ever get it? Maybe for a little bit. Maybe. Fleeting seconds or minutes or maybe even some months or years, but it never stays. Okay, so back to the verse. But okay, one another point. Although the happiness never stays, people generally don't make the connection that I'm endeavoring for happiness over and over again in so many different ways, but I'm not getting it. What's the problem here? So here, now back to the verse. Oh great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness, but one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Therefore, please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. So why am I bringing that up? Because that question was the opened the door for Maitreya Rishi to explain all the different programs in the universe, et cetera, that attain to, that pertain to that topic. Why people endeavor for people are endeavoring for happiness, they're doing things, they're not following any restrictions or whatever, and they're not getting happiness, but they're not making a connection. So here now, take that to what's happening here. So Diti was informed by Kasyapa. Although she was agitated for sexual union with her husband, which is totally, quote unquote, bona fide, you know, she's the wife, the husband, that's a legitimate relationship. And it's and also that that sex desire is, you know, the adiras, the original relationship there that comes originates in Krishna. So it's there. It's not quote unquote bad, but there's certain ways to fulfill those desires that will lead to happiness. And there's certain ways that if one disregards the rules and regulations, the resultant union with the husband or with someone, some partner, it doesn't bring happiness, but people don't make the connection. That's the point. So Diti was informed by her husband, okay, she informed her husband that she was desirous to have a son. All her sisters had sons, and she was kind of envious of their position. She also wanted a son. Nothing wrong with that. But the timing, according to the Vedic Shastra, according to the rules and regulations. The timing wasn't proper. The time wasn't proper. So therefore, the results of that union with Kasyapa and Diti didn't bring her happiness. Although she was pushed by Cupid to fulfill her desire, even at that inappropriate time, even against all good instructions, she, their union obviously didn't bring about happiness, because from their union, the two great demons were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and they were the terror of the universe for many years. And even her, as the story goes on, and I'm sure most of you are familiar, even Diti, when she realized the result, what was going to happen because of her inappropriate actions and the time of her actions, she was so powerful that she held the birth of twins within her womb for a few extra months, a few extra years, a few extra decades. For 100 years, she kept those babies within her womb. Two of them, not just, it's difficult enough to carry one, the barren woman is speaking. It's difficult enough to carry one child within your womb for 9 months. Carrying two children in your womb for 9 months is also extremely difficult. Carrying two children within your womb for 100 years, she was very powerful. She was very powerful, and she had, you know, certain abilities. And her reason for withholding the birth of her children is because she had heard these children are going to harass all saintly people, and they're going to cause a total disruption in society. So she was trying to prevent it as long as she could. But the point being here, in this story, and in this volume, the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the underlying theme is to present how the time factor, how Krishna's time factor is insurpassable, how Krishna has arranged the order of this material world in such a way, and therefore he has, like I was quoting from that 10th verse, 9th or 10th verse in the third chapter of the Gita, when Krishna says, I've provided rules and regulations for the living entities. If they'll follow that while they're in this material world, if they follow these recommended sacrifices, then they'll live in a peaceful way and achieve self-realization, perfection, understanding that living in this material world, as much as we try, as much as we try to make so many arrangements, as much as we try to think that by my arrangements things will, I can control things, when we have that attitude, then there's no way that you'll be happy, because Krishna, the Supreme Controller, is in charge of all of those things, and he set the path of how to become happy in this material world. Now, back to the theme of this third canto, is to show us, by repeated hearing in different circumstances, how real happiness comes by remembering who we are. In the material world, we have this false identification of identifying I, me, and mine with my body, mind, and senses. I think this is who I am. But 90 years ago, this wasn't who I was. And probably in a few more years, this isn't going to be who I am either. But the soul is eternally transmigrating birth after birth after birth after birth. And every single birth that they're in, they identify, this is who I am. When actually, with that basic understanding, or we could say even the basic mistake of identifying the self with the body, then there's never going to be peace or happiness or tranquility in the world or in the person, that person. So this this volume of the Bhagavatam and all the others also are especially stressing that we have to understand the different controlling aspects of the Lord to understand that we're not the Supreme. We're not the Supreme. We're subordinate to the Supreme will of the Lord. And although just hearing those words might not necessarily make one feel pretty happy, they might think, ooh, subordinate to somebody superior? You mean I can't do what I want to do whenever I want to do it? But actually, if we follow the prescribed recommendations by the Supreme Lord in our life, eating proper foodstuffs, offering sacrifice to the Lord, etc., 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 then one will be happy because one will be in proper connection with the Supreme Lord. So that time factor, the time factor that we're all totally subordinate to, is a big reminder of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is superior to us. I wanted to read a little bit from that purport in the fifth chapter, because it gives the explanation of many things. So here comes from the purport of the fifth chapter of the third canto, text number 2. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord, his name, fame, qualities, form, and pastimes. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. So that's an important point. So, and that's what I was saying in relation to understanding how we are subjected to higher forces all the time, but unfortunately, we're not acknowledging them. You know, and that non-acknowledgement of the potency of the time factor, of the potency of the Supreme Lord's will, causes us further entanglement in fruitive activities and further suffering. Okay, back to the purport. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction, and does not find any solution to the problems of life. So similarly, this is what Diti was experiencing. Pushed by a desire to enjoy in a certain way, even though it was not the recommended time, etc., etc., she still was, at this particular point, under the illusion that if she did what she wanted, she'd be happy. If she did what that strong desire to be happy was, that she would become happy from it. And it led to a total, completely opposite result of suffering for her and suffering for humanity. Of course, there was some caveats in there that she got some benedictions also in there, but just the general point we're making here. There's a nice song in this connection. This is in the purport again. And here's a quote. Because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house. But unfortunately, the whole scheme has turned to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire, blown over by a hurricane or tornado or whatever. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in this material world. But the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. Why? Because the whole conception of what's going to make me happy is skewed. We're thinking that what's going to make me happy is by gratifying my senses. And even though I've tried in 10 million quadrillion ways already, and it's only 8:30 in the morning, to be happy by satisfying my senses, the only way that we're really happy is if we connect our desires with the Supreme Lord. And why is that, you might ask? Is that some dogmatic religious tenet from some fanatical group of weirdos? No, because that's the way it is. There's the Supreme Lord, we're his servants, we're his parts and parcels, and we have forgotten at this particular point in time, we've forgotten our connection with him. And when we turn our attention back to him and try to please the Supreme Lord by offering him nice foodstuffs, offering him nice flowers and dresses, et cetera, and offering him the fruits of our endeavors, then we'll be acting in that capacity, our constitutional capacity. Our constitutional capacity, our original identity is a servant of the Lord. It's not a forced position. It's not an artificial position. It's not a unfortunate position. It's not unfortunate. It's very, very fortunate. Unfortunately, we're forgetting that and thinking that there's another way to be happy. And even though we meet with so many obstacles continuously, we still don't make the connection. Oh, it's because I've turned my back on God. Are people, you know, so much news is flying around these days, especially in this wonderful temporary land of America. I didn't say that. So much people are, but are they making the connection? Why is the weather, why is there so much severe weather happening? Why are there so much contentious relationships between this group and that group? Why is there so much of this and that? Are they making the connection that, oh, it's because we're not remembering that we're all servants of God and we have some unity together? No, they don't make that connection. Because unfortunately, and so in order to make that connection, then one has to hear repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And that's another thing that the Bhagavatam presents to us, repeatedly reminding us that we're servants of the Lord, and that is the path to happiness. Repeatedly in so many different circumstances, whether one is in insignificant circumstances or one is even in the position like Diti and Kasyapa, elevated, exalted personalities who have spiritual knowledge, some spiritual understanding, but at the same time, they're still more solid connection to the Lord that needs to be made, and because of that disconnection, I just lost my train of thought. It just totally derailed something. They'll never be happy unless they serve Krishna. How's that? Anyway, so that's are some of the points from this. Yeah, so even if one isn't, thank you, Krishna, even if one is in an exalted position, if they're not totally connected with the Supreme Lord, there's still chance of temporary derailment. But again, not to think that the Lord, we're not presenting here that the Lord is that personality that is just simply looking for the faults in the living entities to punish them. No, that hellfire and brimstone type of mentality that if you don't follow the Lord, you're going to burn in hell eternally. But Krishna is very kindly also, he's giving us the information that we're missing right now, that we've ignored for so long, that we're missing, that we're connected with him. And he's also giving us the path of how to reconnect. And he's also explaining that when one begins to endeavor in this path of bhakti, then any progress that one makes is to their eternal benefit. Just like one of the verses that we chanted before we started class, that the endeavor that one makes in bhakti, in any time that one hears the transcendental sound vibration, any endeavor one makes is to their eternal benefit. So there's always a hopeful situation on hand. Hare Krishna. Any discussion or question? Uh-oh, that's not a good sign. Ragatmika must have something. Okay, all right, Prangovinda Prabhu.
I was wondering, in order to say 100 years pregnancy, who is keeping track? Who was keeping track?
And how long did
they live? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in different ages, they lived different years. Different amounts of times. So, what do you mean, who was keeping track? You think no one was keeping track?
Well, like, if one Mataji is pregnant for 10 months, we live longer than that, so we keep track. So, 100 years, our 100 years, or their 100?
Her 100 years are our 100 years, in one sense. The length of time of the people in the heavenly planets, their lifespan, and the yuga that they lived in, 100,000 years was their lifetimes, so 100 years is not very much. Or if their lifetime was 10,000 years, 100 years is not so much. So it's proportionate, Just like when Lord Brahma did his meditation for 100 years, and you think, oh, that was really long, but that was just like a small percentage of his total lifetime. So sometimes it's true. Sometimes in the Bhagavatam, when it says 100 years, there's, according to the context, oh, that was another point that I was going to make. Okay. According to the context, the 100 years is in human years, and sometimes according to the context, it's in 100 demigod years. But then again, they lived for 100,000 years, so it's like one-tenth of their life. So I don't know if that's what you're pointing at, but...
I was just curious. Also, like birth-giving center or maternity house, wherever the mother gives birth, it's not really up to her. But in this case, maybe Diti had a power to control that when the baby will... Just
she obviously did, because it was beyond the length of time for a normal conception, so that she
just
had...
Just curious, what kind of austerity she did, that's like...
Just a point that you reminded me of, thank you. We have to take, by understanding things in context and the content of the thing. The two things have to be there. Because sometimes if you take these little stories out of context, then you don't get the whole gist of everything. So content and context help us have a complete understanding of the situation. Yes, dear.
I like that you're bringing out the point that all endeavor in material world does not bring happiness. But then, of course, my mind, 100 years, and if she was so powerful to hold the pregnancy for 100 years, but she was not powerful to control her senses at the beginning, that's one. And the other is, Krishna wanted these two to be born, and at a certain time. So how much... is it Krishna's desire?
That's one of the amazing aspects of our Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He's in charge of everything. But at the same time, the living entity always has free will how to act. So minute independence is always there. We always have a choice. But he orchestrates things according to the desires and the living entity deserves. What can you say?
Initiating cause.
Okay, but I would.
Sanctioning cause.
Right. But there was another little point that something. Maybe it'll come back in a minute. okay, so when Krishna has a desire for to fight, and so he, and this is what was more or less backstory, and he arranged for his two gatekeepers to come to the material world so that they could have a fight with a worthy opponent. They, in coming, and in order to fulfill the desire of the Lord, are completely covered by the material energy and think, I'm Hiranyaksha, I'm Hiranyakashipu, and I really don't like the Lord. But they're totally covered by the Supreme Lord's desire, you know. That's a little different than common people like myself who are also totally covered. But it's not just the Lord's desire. It's because of everything that I've done, I've gotten reactions for, and therefore I'm, you know, who I am. Unfortunately for you guys. You know, covered in a certain way by my... But the process of getting out is also there, and also for engaging in the... For someone who's actually... an associate of the Supreme Lord and is engaging in pastimes in the material world, they're under total different, you know, set of rules. Hare Krishna. Stita D. After Agatmika.
Same point you had, but
okay. Sorry. We'll rectify that.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Should I bring it back?
Oh, yeah, Pran's question, that caught my attention yesterday, how Aditi controlled her pregnancy. And then Pran raised, well, how did she do the austerities to get that power? You know, I mean, and you were talking about text and content. And the thought came, how do we, you know, we're thinking, you know, pregnancy means 9 months, give or take a week or two, because that's our experience on Earth. But, you know, these people are in other realms of existence, and...
These people are living on other realms of existence. Uh-huh.
And that could be, yeah. I don't know, standard operating procedure. I mean, I don't want to go Monday, you know. I want to, you know, weekends better. You know, we have our experience, and that's not necessarily an absolute criteria which to judge what's going on in these pastimes.
That's a good point. And that's another part of the bewilderment of material energy, that we think that what I perceive is reality. And anything else that if I don't perceive it, it's not really reality.
Look, you gotta think of something. I got up.
And another thing too, just another point in relation to holding, she could. I think it was Govinda Mohini's point. She could hold. She had enough potency, power, whatever, to hold her pregnancy for 100 years. But she didn't have enough power or ability to control her sex desire at the quote-unquote wrong time, which just indicates the different forces, how strong that force is, that pushing so much stronger. Yes, dear.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask the very same thing she did, but yet, too, it seems she was trying to take control and not just, especially after hearing that some of the good results.
Yes.
Why couldn't she just have let go and let Krishna be in control of?
It's called vagam, pushings. The pushings of the senses. Why couldn't she? She could have, but she didn't, you know. Yeah. And one can say, well, this is the pastime, the Lord's arranging it, you know, it has to go through, and even if she didn't, it would have happened in a different way, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, vacho vega manasa krodavetam, these are pushings. And, you know, sometimes it's just a little tap, and sometimes it's a shove, you know. So, that's partial. Madhumati's going to set everything straight.
Thank you, Prabhupada. I think you already mentioned that it just describes, it's easy to control our, we may have certain skills, but the heart, what's in the heart, that's much more difficult to control. Because even in this pastime, later on we see that Diti gets really angry. She gets really angry because her sons were killed. And she's ready to kill Indra after that. So you see her the feelings, the emotions. I'm thinking that those are very difficult to control. We can become expert in, for example, ourselves as devotees, we may become expert in, you know, being very regulated, chanting our 16 rounds, and, you know, being, you know, coming, getting up in the morning, going to bed, do everything right. But then the feelings within us, the envy or our, those are the things that are very difficult to.
Yeah.
The heart has not become pure or.
Right, and that's the identification with the self.
Yeah.
That identification that I am this body and this is going to please me is so strong. It's so strong, and that's why the Bhagavatam repeatedly reminds us that we're not the body, we're not our mind, we're not our desires, we're not our this. You know, we're servants of Krishna, and only until only till we connect firmly with that. Identity as a servant of Krishna, and his will is the one that needs to be fulfilled, then, you know, there's repeated tussles with that. Ekadasi had her hand up also, so we, yeah. And then Himavati. And Bhadra, you had something also? Okay. You're on the list.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking that someone might read this and think, wow, Prabhupada used a pretty heavy word because he said, you know, he called her a prostitute. And also I was thinking somebody might be thinking, well, I wouldn't mind having a wife who tugged on my clothes, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all
yeah.
These. But I think that it's like those are details, that the important thing is that her husband gave her very good advice and she wouldn't or couldn't follow it. And that's a problem that most of us have, is we know the right thing. We know what the right thing is to do. But again, those pushes kind of block us. So that's... that's like the focus there, as opposed to the other small details.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Yeah, that's the thing. The point isn't who's to blame here. Is she for tugging on his dhoti to blame, or is he to blame because he you know, surrendered to her desires? Those are details that are important, but the point is that by that constant endeavor, you know, to satisfy the senses, it's always going to be, you know, identify with the body, satisfy the senses, it's always going to end up with problems. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm reflecting on what Mananmati said, and it's true. Sometime on external, the external, we think we're, wow, I got my game all together here. And all of a sudden, our heart comes out, and we have proof that we're not exactly where we thought we were.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. Yeah, Bhadrak, if you can, then you'll be relieved. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, all this. Personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not ordinary persons, otherwise they would not be in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Second thing is, the person might be we start thinking that, well, this was ultimately Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna wanted to fight and they were cursed to go three births. So person might think, well, this is what, you know, it was Krishna's arrangement. You know, But Srila Prabhupada's purports are the point which are giving very clear understanding that this is the nature of this material world. And if you don't, you will not be take precautions, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of giving us, and Srila Prabhupada's purports are the main who are making us very clear understand. And that's why purports are important. That Srila Prabhupada making very, in this one, he's making very, very clear point that if you are married and then whatever, but if you go out of it, and even in marriage, if you do this, this was going to get
yes,
it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Otherwise, and that's why if you don't have purport, then we will be just
miss the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, Hare Krishna, up here in the front.
So we're talking a bit here about like the desires of Krishna.
Put it close to your mouth because there are people on the internet. That's why. I mean, we can hear, but thank you. Please.
So as we've been speaking, we're talking about the desires of Krishna, the desires of God. I guess I'm struggling. How do we even like begin to conceptualize or understand the desire of Krishna without somehow reflecting it within our own desire and finitude? Like, I like to think about it in like Lacan's psychoanalytic tradition, where it's like the desire of the subject is the part of them that is not them, that they identify with, that's external to them. And because of that, because that is fundamentally them, the desire can never be fulfilled. But in Krishna, there is nothing that is not Krishna. And as such, how does he have like desire? How do we begin to like delineate that without the separation between the internal and the external, the you and the not you?
That's a great question. But we have desire because Krishna has desire. That's one, you know, there's many aspects of answering this, okay? But we have desire because Krishna has desire. Krishna has desire. The Lord has desire because the Lord is a person. Just that concept that God is a person, that there's a higher force. That's not just a force, it's a person. He's a personality. And we're parts of him. We're creations of him. He's created us. He's totally independent and capable of fulfilling all his desires without any problem, without any endeavor, without any sweat of his brow or work. He's totally independent like that. And we have desires but we're subordinate to him. We have minute independence. In other words, so how does that translate? So that translates in the sense that we have free will to either turn towards him voluntarily, or if we want to, we can turn our back on him. He gives us that opportunity. He doesn't force us to love him. No, you have to love me. No, it's your choice. It's our choice. And therefore, we made that choice to turn our back on the desires of serving Krishna, turn our back and try to be happy ourselves. And here we are in the midst of this Kali Yuga. So I'm not sure if I'm totally hitting on all the points that you made, mm-hmm. but the fact that we're here and we're experiencing ups and downs and this and that is because we're not connecting our desires to serve the Lord, our desires with the gaining the pleasure of the Lord, you know? So when that happens, therefore, Krishna's given us books like Srimad Bhagavatam. He's given us personalities like Srila Prabhupada and other pure devotees and other personalities to remind us of what's really going to make us happy. So therefore, we have to take advantage of that. And it doesn't mean that we're all in the same cookie-cutter type of robotic servant of the Lord, you know? That there's unlimited ways to serve the Lord, there's unlimited ways to reciprocate with the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates with all living entities in his own, in an individual way. That's another thing that's like mind-blowing too, you know?
But is that saying like Krishna's desire is merely like a reflection of our own, in a sense?
Say it again, please.
Like, Krishna's desires are, in a sense, a reflection of our own back unto him. Like, we desire happiness, and Krishna really is desiring happiness for us, not for his own sake,
right?
Us coming to Krishna is not for his sake. He has no need. He's not contingent. Everything rests upon him. Rather, like, his desire, happiness, seems to be the fulfillment of ours, in the truest sense, in him.
Well, we have desires... And it's okay. I have every time you say something, I start to think of something, then I forget. I'm sorry. Krishna is. I can't remember the sentence. He's independent. He's self-satisfied. Either we can all surrender to Krishna right now, 100%, or we can never surrender to Krishna. He doesn't need us. We need him.
Mm-hmm.
So. I can't. Does anyone know? He gives us the opportunity to come back to him, and the whole process is there. That when, and the thing is that he wants our happiness, but he understands that our happiness is in serving him. So he's giving us the facility to serve him in different ways. Pran Govinda Prabhu, did you want to add something? When you get the mic, so that everyone can hear, because there are more people that are listening. Thank you.
So if we look at the pastime in a short way, the Lord desire to fight. He want to release the Shiblari Rasa. Then Joy Bijoy as a gatekeeper was thinking, what's the value of my life if I cannot please the Lord? But then four Kumaras comes. I'm just giving a refresh. And then four Kumaras, somehow or other, the incident took place that he... created a pastime where the anger came and there was a curse that you are not fit for here, you should go down. But then Lord comes, but then in Madhurja Kadambini Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that the opportunity was given to them, you can have a 7 life as a devotee and come back to Vaikuntha, or 3 life as a demon and come back to Vaikuntha. Because their intensity to serve the Lord here in Vaikuntha, even though they agreed originally, you may say, that to fulfill the desire to give him a Shiblari Rasa, but here they decided to take 3 demon life to come back quick. So Lord says, let be it. So in one sense, it is his desire, but it is his desire is not alone. It is a reciprocal. He relayed what we want to do, then together actually accomplished.
Very nice.
I think a follow-up question I would have would be, like, what does it mean to be a person? Like, when we say Krishna is the personality of Godhead, and like we like to think that we ourselves are persons. I guess from this tradition, how is the personhood defined or conceptualized? Because like Lacan would say, like, desire is what makes the subject the subject. That's what makes a person. But again, Krishna's desires are reflections. He has no need in himself. There's nothing external to him. So in such, how does he become a person?
No, you cannot say he doesn't need. He doesn't need for himself. But a person who's very rich doesn't mean he's inactive. When person is very wealthy, he can still be active, right? So personality has, like for an example, Krishna's body is made of Sat-Chit-Ananda. So Chit potency, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has many facets. One is willpower, persistence, abstinence. These are the functionality of the willpower. And then he has the Chit potency, also another manifestation is desire. It's eternal. This is not, cannot be destroyed. Maybe good desire, bad desire, but desire is eternal. This is what the personality made of. Krishna has a manliness. He has 8 types of quality. He has a 64 unlimited quality, but 64 are main qualities. Then he has a 4 types of heroic personality. You know, Dhira Datta, Dhira Uddata, Dhira Lalita. Those are all details in Nectar of Devotion given, like how powerful, how unique, lovely personality, preeminently lovable. Mm-hmm. Krishna is preeminently lovable. So more we hear from Nectar of Devotion, those, we get natural attraction to serve that personality, because that's what we are looking for, actually. We want to serve a person who is unique, preeminently lovable, and we want to serve that, because that's actually satisfy our needs also and desire. Does and that make sense? And you read it. Yeah, that he understood.
Yeah, I think when it comes to these gunas, these qualities, like in us, we can understand, like it is like also their negation that also defines them. Like, I am masculine in that, like in my lack of femininity. But in Krishna, he is the source of all qualities, including like femininity. Like we're saying, he's the most masculine, but necessarily like, femininity originates from him. So I guess, how does that like limitation or divide between like his qualities and the negation, like the not his qualities, come to be, because he is the source of all quality.
Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi, maybe we can discuss after the class. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi,
let's just end with this point, and you can continue your discussion.
Yeah.
The basic point is personality, you know, because it. Predominating mood and understanding in this modern age is impersonalism, that there's no person behind anything, that nature is a force and we can exploit her and this and that, and there's no her, I said that by mistake. Nature is a force and we can exploit it to make ourselves happy, but actually there's always a repercussion because there's a person behind everything. And we'll end here, but I'm sure the discussion will continue. Thank you very kindly for your attention and your kind questions. Vantikalpa Dhruvyasya.